I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Some people stepped away from church, and the children stepped away from them. But that's what it looks like. If you want a little synopsis of what revival looks like, it's going to say, I'm going to go back to God. And maybe some of us need to say that this morning. I'm going to go back to God, and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to do it your way now. I've been on my journey. It's been kind of a dull thing. I mean, I've been harmless. I haven't hurt anybody, but I haven't helped anybody. I'm just kind of in the middle. And because I'm lukewarm, you know, I don't want you to spit me out. I just want to know. I'm just going to kind of get on board with you, okay? Just realize that's our verse today for revival. But he arose, he went to his father, and the Bible says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, everything about what the father does here is totally unbecoming of an older man in the Middle Eastern world. And basically, the son coming back, he could have been stoned with stones as he came through the city, but his father somehow got wind that he was there or saw him, and he ran to him, put his arms around him. The son got there, and when the Bible says in verse 21, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I just want you to know that part of the fabric of a real, true, born-again Christian eventually must get to the point where we understand we are wretched. And I know that flies in the face of psychology, but I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says, if you will do well, it will be well with you. It's not about you thinking you're so great. It's not about your self-image, because if you have a proper self-image, you're going to be feeling pretty bad. Because you fail. I fail. You hurt people. I hurt people. We are all sinners. That is absolute truth. We don't have faith in humanity. We have faith in Jesus, okay? And the only one that can help humanity is Jesus. He's the only one who gives an absolute acceptance to the people who on every note would be unacceptable and brings them through like the demoniac from Gadara. Nakedness, tombs, crying, cutting himself, breaking chains, alienating everybody, loneliness. All of that is demonic because the devil separates, destroys, and kills. That's what he does. And we live in a generation where more people than ever are being isolated. Even with COVID, now the government can mandate isolation, mandate your loneliness. And what I'm telling you is when you see this, you're seeing what repentance is going to be looking like. And you're going to understand we're wretched and we got to get to the place. Hopefully we came in at the door saying I'm a wretch. I don't deserve anything. Thanks for letting me in the room. You know, that's where it starts. But after a while, we galvanize. We say, I'm not as much as a wretch as him. And the next thing you know, hey, I'm a pretty good wretch. In fact, I'm going to drop that word. That's an ugly word. I'm a sinner. No. You're a saint. No, you're a saint. That's what he says. And so we see this over and over again. Saints, even in Corinth. Saints, called saints, even in Corinth. What a mess they were. I say to you that this is doctrine we need. It says that he got to the place where he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You could put dot, 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 because he didn't get finished. He wants to make me a servant. And the father said, but the father said, it's like he interrupted, oh, that'd be enough of that. That'd be enough of that. You got his hands on his face. He's looking him in the eye. Son, that's enough of that. That's enough of that. Come here. Give me a hug. He said, bring the robe. Bring the best robe. This is not a dignified thing. My son should not be dressed like this. You know, father, he doesn't want you to be improperly clothed. You know, that robe, it represented dignity. He was in shambles. He was in tattered, you know, threads. The ring, currency, that was where he could write the checks he needed. And what about the shoes? That's his liberty. He was set in liberty. He can come. He can go. His feet won't have to hurt anymore. You know, liberty is the freedom to do right for the first time. He's got a ring. He's got something he can do. And he can feel a little bit more responsible because it's not his checkbook. Now it's dad's. Hey, it always was dad's. All right? It was his when he gave it to you. All of it. The Bible says that he gave a ring on his hand and shoes for his feet. In verse 23, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. The word for merry means to have a good frame, a good mind. You know, you start out just doing what God tells you to do. It's euphrene, and it has the idea of friend, which is the midriff, and you is the idea of good. Good midriff. Okay, we're going to suck this up, and we're going to take this. Jesus put his arm around me on the cross, and he took me with him. And it hurt. It was my crown. He took, and it hurt him. But for the joy, He did it. And we do that for people that are hard for us. Now, this is not something that comes easy. This is not something that comes natural. This is supernatural stuff. But we've got to realize that our Father does this. We need to do this. We need to love the sinners and the publicans. That doesn't mean you give them money to go out and do the things that they're wrong and you're going to hurt them. But it does mean that you somehow try to figure out a way to be kind to them. And if there's a light that you see and a handle you see, you look for the mercy of God. And then you start telling them about Jesus. Guys, listen, God gives us the plan. He says, judge ye righteous judgment. He kills the fatted calf and He says, let's be merry. Just be a good midriff. Let's get a good, you know, like sometimes your stomach hurts because you're worried about your kids. You know, it's like upset. He says, no, we need to put a good, this is hard. He's got wounds. Look, did you see the scar over his eye? Did you see that? Did you see how old he looks and emaciated? You see how he looks 10 years older than he is? Why? Well, let's not talk about this. Let's make merry. He's old. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. Now, his elder brother was in the field. And he came. He drew nigh the house and he heard the music and the dancing. I want you to know something, that when you come to Jesus, Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love over you. He will joy over thee with singing. Isn't that good? I write it down. It's kind of a little verse stuck in Zephaniah 3:17. You ought to memorize that one. That's you. He will rejoice over you. He will rest in His love. That's you. He's resting. He did everything He could do. He did it all in Jesus. They heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants. What's going on? He says, thy brother has come and the guy, your dad has killed the fatted calf because he came safe and sound. Now, the idea of being safe and sound is an interesting word. It has the idea of being whole physically. It's usually used in a physical thing. They that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. So they that are well is the idea. The one man came and said, can you speak the word? My servant will be made whole. And that's the word whole elsewhere. So he's saying he's made whole. He's back. He's home. He's home. He's in his place. He's where he should be. And it's a good time. But the Bible says that this older brother was angry. The word that is for this means that he has this desire to reach and grab stuff. It's the word that has at its root the idea of God's wrath. It means just do everything. It's like thrashing out. He wants to punch somebody. He wants to punch the kid. He's angry at his dad, but he'd never say it out loud. I won't punch dad. You know, some people are mad at God. And that's what this is, angry. He was angry. He would not go in. Therefore, the father came out and entreated him. Parakaleo. He comforted him. He encouraged him. He got his arm around him. Right beside him. Para, right beside him. Arm around him. Kaleo called his son. Listen, let's talk, man. Who's he talking to in the real world? This is the father and the son, but it's about the Pharisees. They murmured. The scribes, they murmured. How could you let them? How could you let him? How could you do that? He says, listen, it is. He says, he entreated him, and in verse 29 it says, and he answered, said to his father, these many years do I, it's all about I and me. He says, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, I want you to know, this is all pooch mouth on steroids, okay? You can write that in your Bible if you want to put pooch mouth on there. You all might not want to put that in your Bible. But pooch mouth, okay, this is on steroids. And you say, me, I, what about me? And the emphasis is on what I did. I never transgressed. I always kept your commandments, and this is exactly going to resonate with those Pharisees and scribes. And he says in verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Nowhere were harlots mentioned. They were never mentioned. He goes to the worst of the worst thing. He says he's wasted, he's spent it, he's been in the brothels, he's been all this terrible stuff. And he says, and you killed for him the fatted calf? And he said to his son, You are ever with me. And all that I have is thine. Now, I want you to know, yes, the Pharisees, for the most part, this is going to fall on deaf ears, but he's basically talking to the older brothers here. And I made the connection a minute ago. America is a Christianized nation. It has it in its DNA even to this day. And we're still a nice people. We give money. People stop giving money. And they've actually taken Christianity, turned it into a political thing where they say we're going to give money to the poor from the government. That's never what God had in mind. It's just a perversion. If people are supposed to get money from other people when they need help. That way there's a humility and there's a payoff for the person who gives. The giver, more blessed to give than to receive. We don't even get to give anymore. Because you can't give to a kid who's been put into the foster system because you can't discipline them. If you wanted to take in the foster children, like the orphans throughout these past couple centuries, there have been many orphanages built by Christians because these people understood these kids are orphaned. They're street urchins. But now the government controls it so much that they can say a word and you could be put in jail. So people are like, now just stand over here. It's a perversion. They sound like they're good, but they've commandeered works of charity and turned them into works of what we would call political gain and makes them kind of a payoff, a bribe to poor people to give to those who would give money to them from the government without shame. So he says, you're ever with me. And he's talking to them. And what I want to say is, and America is like that. The church, we're indignant over the world. They're so bad. But the real badness is in the Pharisees and in the sinners. Or Pharisees and the scribes. Why? Because they're supposed to know better. They're supposed to know better. They're supposed to know what's about love. They missed that memo. Okay? It was always there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God. It's all about love. Both tables of stone. One dealt with the horizontal level. One of the tablets meant dealt with the vertical level. He says it is meet that we should make merry. And he knows he's putting a good face on it. His brother's beaten. He's still got some bruises. He's barely had a chance to shower. Remember when they came to get Joseph, they cleaned him up to take him to Pharaoh. That's kind of what this is all about. He's coming in. He's still out of his element, feeling a little bit tender. And everybody's going to put a good face on him because we've got to get him past this initial shock. He says it is meet. The word meet here literally has the idea of necessary. In fact, it goes so far as to mean binding. It is absolutely essential that we do this. This is what the law means. It is binding that we do this. It is necessary that we do this. Can I say it again? It is necessary that we witness. It is not an option. It's not about you being cool and you having it going on and you being able to be a nice guy in the middle of a crowd and you didn't get angry when somebody bumped you and all that. I'm telling you, those are the things we work on, but that's not what it's about. It's about getting the message through the gates of hell. My church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He says we should be merry and be glad. The word glad, kairo, comes from the word charis, grace. We need to be glad. We need to get into that lane. We need to get into the lane where we're excited about somebody coming to Christ. For this, thy brother, they're all your brothers. We're all from the same womb. We're all of the same blood. We all came from Adam and Eve. They are our brothers. They are our sisters. He says that brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. And I say this to you. He does not end this chapter with an explanation of what he just said because it stands on its own two feet. We either get it or we don't. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.